Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Today on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, we are talking to a fantastic mentor chef, probably the greatest Italian chef to influence young Americans today, and that is none other than Cesare Casella. Welcome, Cesare.
Ciao.
Ciao. To me, this is very, very exciting because, as you probably all know, I run a cooking school, and Cesare has been my mentor for our Italian program. And he not only has been my mentor, but I know with many of the young American chefs who are making huge contributions, people like Mark Ladner at Del Posto, or Anne Burrell, or even someone like Anthony Bourdain, used Cesare to be his guide in Rome to take him to all the best places and most authentic places. So anyway, we're going to jump into it today because Cesare's background is he came to the States quite a few years ago, and he opened Coco Pazzo, he had Beppe, Maremma, but now he has one of the most exciting eating places in New York, Salumeria Rossi on the Upper West Side, and he's just about to open Salumeria Rossi Il Ristorante on 73rd Street and Madison Avenue in New York. So enough about me talking, Cesare. I want to talk to you. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me, what year did you come to New York?
2001.
Why did you come to New York?
I come to New York because I used to be I have a restaurant in Lucca. They call Vipore. And in the restaurant, there came a lot of famous people, and there are a lot of Americans. And I started to like to come in New York for my vacation. I used to come in New York. I started to cook for charity event. And when the first one was in the Lincoln Center, and the called Tutti Italia event, and from there I started to be in love with New York, and I came
here. You have the opportunity, so you can. I should mention that Vipore was a one-star Michelin in Lucca, and John Fairchild, who's the editor-in-chief of W Magazine, it was his favorite restaurant, and so Cesare had a reputation in New York way before he got here. So tell me, how does an Italian chef become an Italian chef, a one-star Michelin toast of the town, toast of Lucca town, which is a heavy food city?
I think first is the passion, and what you want to do in your life is what make you to become a chef, because at the moment you decide what you want to do. There was a difference for me. I born in the restaurant physically. We have our house above the restaurant. But my parents didn't like for me to be in the restaurant business.
Now, wait a minute. So your family had a restaurant, Vipore?
Yes.
Okay. Was your father the chef?
My mom was a chef there. My father, he was doing only cook at the grill because it was a wood fire grill, and there was the person that he was take care to buy the ingredients, and he was very picking that. I learned a lot from him how to buy the ingredients, how to choose the best quality. from my mom to cook. But at the same time, I went in the school because I thought that if I want to do this business, I want to have more knowledge, and the school is what they give it to you.
All right, so let's go back to your childhood. From the time you were born, did your parents have this restaurant?
My parents, they used to work. My father was working the farm, but they have another business, but he loved the food. And my mom, she was the fourth sister. She was the person, the cook, not my grandmother, my mom. Since she was very young in the house, plus she was a chef in the private house. Then, after that, my mom and my father used to help my uncle to have a restaurant. At that point, they decide to go to look for new house. Instead of to find a house, they find house a business. So they took this space. There was this restaurant. There was in 1964, and then, so I was 4 years old. There I was living in the restaurant.
So what are your first memories of the restaurant in the house? Were they all the same thing to you? Did you think that everyone had a restaurant in their home?
No, not really, because I was different and to have the restaurant, but for me there was a playground. The kitchen was a playground, the store, because in the front we have a grocery store, we have the bar. Maybe other kids, they have a playground, they go in the playground. For me, my playground, there was the kitchen and the grocery store at the bar. Many times, because my parents, they was busy, and then they did maybe the step more longer than what they thought it was more easy, so they wasn't working a lot, and the priority now was me. There wasn't more the working, so they forget me sometime in the bar or in the grocery store. And I was a kid, I used to sleep with my dog, because there was my best friend, and maybe they find me and sleep in the corner of the bar or where.
On your dog.
Yes, there was a perfect soft, and it wasn't my bodyguard.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to go around him.
Touch you, yeah. What were some of the great flavor memories you had growing up in that restaurant?
You did a question for me. It was a normal. I thought that everybody would have
a restaurant.
At that, no, but what I was surprised when I used to go to eat the house with my friend, and then it was the same food.
The food was
so I was more alert to the bad things, not the, I know I was surprised the good things my mom or my father used to do, or what I was eating my home. For me, that was the standard. So when I was going to eat something else in other place, I was disappointed.
Because the food wasn't as good.
No.
Were the products not as good too?
No, but I think the product, because so we talk today, then don't exist the product. But I think in the 17, the 82, there was a no good product. Maybe.
Even in Italy,
because it depends on how you was buy. So many times there was no problem. Live in the country, a lot of farmer, they produce, they was great, but maybe other product, supermarket product or other product, there was for money problem or for knowledge problem, maybe they know it. I think in Italy too, in the 70s, the 80s, there was a lot of cube, bouillon, or stuff like that. There was like my mom, family, like my mom, they have my grandfather, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, In the house, they have this wood burning stove, never was off in the summertime or in the wintertime. So practically, because at 5 o'clock I get up, they have breakfast. My grandfather used to have this bowl with a cafe latte, a dipping wine, dipping bread inside. 5 o'clock. After that, take a pieces of the lardo and slice the bread with his knife. Cut the pieces of lardo. Eat in this way. Then, in at 10 o'clock, 10:30, my grandmother they used it to bring sandwich in the field at the farm because they have a snack with the wine and the sandwich. There was some cheese that my grandma used to make, or some salami, but no vegetable. 12 o'clock, they come back home for lunch. So the lunch, there was a big, huge lunch. And but in the kitchen, all the time, there was the pots with some type of the broth because of beef or chicken, there was a cooking there. Because of the broth, there was something important in the family for to eat. But at 12 o'clock, they have a lunch with the pasta, and there was some meat, and then when they finish some meat, they normally it's not too much meat, but a lot of sauce because of the bread. And the bread was made in the house, but you make it once a week. So when they arrived after 7 days, the bread is still stale.
But you have to put it in the broth to make it soft enough to eat.
But not so much, because they was smart. They used to put the potatoes inside. So if you put the potatoes in the bread...
Oh, you mean make a potato bread?
No, the flour, but with the potatoes, they're still soft after 1 week.
Oh.
And but they are the difference. Or they take the bread that they put on top of the fire. They can toss it.
Okay, you're from Tuscany.
Yes.
And everybody says Tuscan bread has no salt, and that's good for Tuscany.
But depends.
So the potato bread, did it have salt in it?
Yes. Oh. But for example, look at every bread, they have salt, because I don't know really what is the less salt you put, they preserve better.
Oh.
But another thing, the salt, what is, it's about the cost.
Yeah.
But I don't know what is real. But you reading sometime, talk about the bread, talk the salt, they don't put the salt because at that time it was expensive, the salt. But I don't know, because all the Tuscany, they have a lot of place where they make salt.
Yeah.
And then,
so you don't understand.
But Luca,
so let me ask you something else. Did you ever dream of being something other than a chef or working with food growing up in that environment? You always knew.
When I decided to go to cooking school in Italy at 14, and the school there 3 years or 5 years, and I told my parents they practically they told me if you're going to cooking school, you're going to work for to pay your
own tuition.
It was a tuition, but for to live. But if you're going to choose the school for to go to be architect, doctor, priest, what you want, but not in the rest of business, we pay, you don't need to work that. And I don't know if
that, so they really didn't want you to go.
They don't want it because the restaurant today is not. To be a chef, it can be glamour, but 30 years ago, then it wasn't so much glamour. There was working a lot of time, but it wasn't my passion.
Yeah.
And that offer from my parents, I think there was, I don't know if it was a type of...
They were testing
it. I don't know, they testing, they believe that. They believe.
If you were going to pay for your own way, they knew you were serious about it.
And then, but not so much that, probably because it's so difficult, it's so hard to be chef 35 years ago. They had a passion, and they was a belief that it was important for them to have it. It was more important to have the son, the architect, or doctor, than known to be chef.
Right. So tell me, you told me a story about how serious you were as a student. And in those days, there was one Italian chef who had 3 stars, Gualtiero Marchesi. And he was known as Il Divino. He was so revered. Tell people what you did, to learn from him.
Well, after the school, because of 3 years, and the school was going to Monte Cattini, between Lucca to Florence. So every morning there, I need to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and somebody living in my village drive to the Lucca for work. He pick up me, drop me at the station. I take a train, I go to Monte Cattini, I come out from the station, I walk 3/4 mile to go to the school, and then in the evening at 4 o'clock I leave from the school. And then I do back home and take a bus to go back home.
What time did you get home?
5, 6 o'clock. And then I was working in the restaurant.
At night?
And at night. And then
so what were you learning? And why was it so important to you?
Because of the school, my mom is a great chef. And then, but I thought that if I want to come better, and I want I don't know if I'm better, but if I want to have more knowledge, I needed to have a more direction to study more. In Italy, it's a different the school because it's you're going to have not only culinary
training,
but you, for example, we have French.
Study French language?
French language, English, and I learned too much. And mathematics, history, geography.
Oh, so it was schooling.
It's a schooling, because in fact there was about, if I think from the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, to 4 o'clock a day for every day. That is a, I learn a lot. But I think I learned a lot because I have the knowledge of my mom. I think my mom, until I was 18, she never wanted me in the kitchen. My mom, she a lot of chef all around the world. They used to come to do stage in Vipore. And my mom teach to everybody. And she was the same. You know already. No, you don't need to learn. You don't need to learn.
So she kicked you out of the kitchen.
Me kicked me out. Practically, what
the
I learned.
Chefs came from all over to learn.
Yes,
from your
mother. It was funny. A couple months ago, I was in Costa Rica, and in this resort is a coffee plantation.
Yeah.
And I was working. In vacation there, and I saw this guy that maybe I know him, and then finally we are at the restaurant, he was next to me, and they told me, "Ciao Cesare, how are you?" And then he introduced himself, was a former student at the French Culinary Institute. Culinary Institute.
Yes.
But he did a stage in Vipore with my mom and me.
How funny.
And he's the executive chef for the Boston
up in Boston.
Legal
Seafood.
Legal Seafood.
Okay, well, that's a French Culinary Institute stronghold too. Okay, we're going to take a break here. This is so fascinating. We're going to come back and talk to Cesare about his restaurant.
Grass-fed beef, pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Okay, we're going to resume. Today I have the privilege and real fun of talking to Master Chef Cesare Casella. I think maybe some of you have seen him on Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations when Tony was doing his show on Rome. He did it 1950 style and in black and white and had to get the ultimate person to show them authentic Roman cuisine, and Cesare was his guide. Go to Netflix and get that TV show. It is fantastic. So Cesare, I remember walking with you in Lucca, and we walked down the main street, and people going, Cesare, Cesare, when are you going to come back? I mean, you're just such a beloved chef for your restaurants. Everybody misses your food over there. We're so lucky in New York because we have it.
Lucca is a small town.
Lucca is a hard town to impress people with food. Your background was you worked at Coco Pazzo and took New York and critics by storm. Then you opened Beppe and Maremma. But about in 2008, you really came on an incredible idea and opened this different concept restaurant, more cafe style, Salumeria Rossi. And it has the best prosciutto. It's up at 73rd and Amsterdam Avenue. The best prosciutto, the best mozzarella, the best products. But now you're opening an even further extension of that on 73rd on the east side of Madison Avenue with Salumeria Rossi, Il Ristorante. So where has your concept of cooking? What is this new restaurant about?
Take a step back. The place in West Side, it's idea. It's like what was a Vipore, but like there was a most of the restaurant at the start. So it's a small store in the village where they have the store. They sell prosciuttos, cheeses, other products, everything they need. It's at the deli, the village. They have like a Vipore that was from they used to sell pasta in bulk, bread, salami, blade razor, everything they needed for the people that live there. And then they started to make a restaurant in the back. That is Salumeria Rossi in the west side is the same, is at the store grocery in the front and then in the back. Next is the restaurant and the idea, because it's a small place, we did it with a small plate, like Italian tapas. In the east side, practically it's like my return inside, because when I arrived in New York, there was only across the street from here, because Coco Pazzo was 74th Street. So when I saw this space in 73rd in Madison, I like the idea after 20 years to open place, not like Coco Pazzo, but very similar, because I hope to have the same success.
Okay, so tell us what the menu is going to be like at the new restaurant, Salumeria Rossi, compared to Coco Pazzo, which was maybe 20 years ago?
Yes.
How are the menus, Italian menus, changed?
But really, the change, they don't change. Like the idea that when I arrive when the menu in Coco Pazzo was in my menu, I put a lot in my dishes, they don't going to be so much different, because they're going to be the moment the best the Italian cuisine, I think, is at the 90 in Italy. So when they finish the Nouvelle Cuisine, because until the 80 there was a great restaurant, a good restaurant, there was a lot of influence about the Nouvelle Cuisine. After the 90, there was the influence, the molecular cuisine from the Spanish. So the 90, there was started to be the real Italian food, because before the 80s, 70s, there was a different, because Italy, there was a finish, Italy finished the war in the 1940. So in the 40s, the people, there was a thinking, no, what is the food to eat something, because in time the war, there was too much food. The 50s, the same, there was important the quantity. In the 60s, there was the boom, the economy, they started to be a lot different restaurant, but there was the beginning. But the food that I'm going to have in my inspiration and what I work for the new place, it's a lot of the great Italian restaurant today. Some they are not anymore there, like Cantarelli, like Paracucchi.
And so you're doing authentic Italian food from the 90s or from
my is from the 90s. Talk about the 90s, because there was a more restaurant, there was a cook pure Italian food, but they start from many chefs in the 60s, like Cantarelli, Paracucchi, like Pinchiori, like El Pescatore,
so
Marchesi,
World War II, where they could use good products.
Yeah, but they was used in the right way. There was enough in knowledge, because there was
a gap because of the war.
The war, and there was a lot about the quantity. When the hungry finish, and they started the people to have the money, they started better communication to know what there was in Sicily, what there was in the north, and the ingredients travel more.
Yes,
because in the between the first war in 1918,
yes,
and the second war, so then there wasn't too much knowledge what's happening in the other part about the food. So the 60s, they started to be the people travel,
yes,
to have in the transportation,
yes,
better. So they started the ingredients to go around to have better. I believe in the Italian food in Sicily or in Alto Adige. It's the same philosophy. They change a lot because each region in Italy, they have different ingredients. And for different reasons about the weather, the geographically, microclimate, they cook in different way. But the philosophy is the same. Respect the ingredients, the simplicity, to use the ingredients from where it came from. For example, it's very difficult for you to find still today radicchio trevisano in Sicily, because you're going to. But if you go in Veneto, every store they have a radicchio trevisano, because they still in some way like a protection. And then what is interesting, they are so different the Italian food, because ante 1850 Italy there was a divine 300 different state one against another, so they
really share their
no share nothing. But that is it's a very difficult.
So now they've discovered each other's cultural. So everyone's making pasta, but they're making pasta a little different.
In the very different, with a different type of. For example, in the south of Italy, they use durum flour. But if you go in the center, they use non durum flour, the regular flour, because they don't have durum flour. So for generation, they cook in some way. So the chef, the great chef, they started to educate not only the client, but the client they eat in the restaurant, they started to cook home better.
Because
it's not better, but different to use new ingredients. And for us, Italy is a very small country, but they are so different. It's a travel the ingredients, and it's a so cool. If you go in Italy and you travel in the A1, the highway, and you see many times if you catch in the time the truck that leave from Sicily and they're going to Milan, Torino to bring produce, and but they leave in the night, they come back in the morning. It's not like here.
Yeah.
The ingredients, they come from California, they need 7 days tracking.
Yeah.
So here, one day, you have the product they arrived from Sicily,
right,
so hot.
Let's circle back to your new restaurant. So what's the menu going to be like?
And
what is Italian food? Is it Italian food from all over Italy, or are you doing a certain...
No, region? I doing all around Italy. I cook, I'm going to use the real way, so the philosophy to respect the ingredients, the simplicity, and then, you know, a lot of these dishes that come from our book. From the...
Okay, we're going to talk about the book in the next part of the...
But because I think it's the way that I grow up myself to cook from the knowledge that I had when I was cooking in the school, the knowledge to cook in Vipore, they have my garden and then everything that was around, all my friend who raised rabbit, who raised pigs, and everything almost they came from around me. It's a different from when you arrive in New York, and many different things. When the first time they arrive in New York, gentlemen they delivered the lamb, and in Italy for me the lamb is a baby lamb. It is a not 25 pounds. This was a 150 pound lamb. I thought this what is the dead sheep they brought here because we don't cook.
So the lamb that you're going to serve in the new restaurant, how big a lamb is it? Is it an American lamb or an Italian baby lamb?
I cook both, but because I started to learn what is the difference, because the animal was bad. There was a race for to be 150 pounds. But in the beginning, I thought, so this is America, everything is a big, the lamb too is a big. And then there was a dead sheep, because in Italy, what's happening...
It was a different breed.
So. The different breed, how they make.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, for me, it was difficult to understand that you can have these rock... The lamb.
So your restaurant is going to be an evolution of Italian cuisine as you've evolved. So actually, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back in a minute after this interruption, and we're going to talk to Cesare about his book. Talking to Cesare Casella on Chef Story, and we've just finished hearing about Cesare's childhood growing up in the restaurants. He's opening a new restaurant, Salumeria Rossi, El Restaurante, on Madison Avenue and 73rd Street. But at this point, Cesare, I think your passion for Italian cooking and your passion for sharing your knowledge is really something all the young American chefs love about you. And you're coming out with a new book, actually with the International Culinary Center, because you're a dean of Italian studies. Why don't you share with us what you're trying to do? The book is The Fundamentals of Italian Cuisine. And what is it in that book that's about your passion?
But I think the book is an evolution from the books that I wrote, because until now I wrote The Italian Cooking for Dummies. There is a cool book.
Italian Cooking for Dummies?
And I think it's a great Italian, it's a great cookbook for Italian food, because they have a lot of knowledge and simplicity. And then I did the Area of Tuscan Chef. There was a divide in the fourth season, and there was a talk about my life, and there was a recipes at that time. And then I did the True Tuscan, the last book. Now, with the school, practically we utilize the curriculum, and we develop with the curriculum and the knowledge and the evolution, all this my knowledge in the last 25 years to make this book. And the fundamental, the title is the fundamental techniques of classic Italian cuisine. Classic because not because it's a classic from 18th century. I think it's a classic because what and I consider what is the evolution of the Italian food from the start from very long time ago to today, because a great chef they brought it today to know exactly what going to be. And today I think we save this book, they're going explain more about what is the simplicity, but how to make a sample and the same time is great. The techniques that we use, but this is the work that I did at the school in the last 5 years to add what is the my work when I was in Italy, they make, I think, came out what in the end I cook the menu place.
So how is the book organized? How do you take all of Italian cuisine, call it classic cuisine, and put it in one book?
But we divide for courts, but at the same time, what is divide for courts is that we talk about the ingredients and the techniques. So it's a recipes, techniques, ingredients. It's a 700 pictures. Is a four
700 pictures.
And there is a lot of pictures to explain. Because sometimes when it's a simple, it's a more difficult than when it's a complex, because to make understand how is a great ingredients, how to choose the right way, how to present with not too many ingredients, present a great dish, how to cook a dish to keep the quality intact. And instead to destroy it, because sometimes it can happen that you have a great ingredients and you don't know how to cook, and you're going to destroy all the nutrition, and not only nutrition but the quality, the
flavor,
of the product,
yeah,
the flavor. And the difficulty sometimes is to find the product, but the difficulty it's how to cook in the right way. And when you don't want to respect the ingredients. For example, what I think the my food today, it's in three words. It's a simple, honest, classic. This because simple, because most simple and with the knowledge today, and then you can cook great simple dishes. Honest because you need to be honest with the ingredients, but need to be honest with yourself in the what is the to choose the right ingredients and to cook in the most right way. Classic because when we talk about the my experience, what is the research that I did from the 80s. That I still to bring in this book.
So, for example, one of the dishes I loved at Beppe, maybe Cocopazzo, I forget when you did, it was the five bean salad, and you couldn't find the right beans. And you actually started a whole heirloom bean business because you bought the beans from Italy, from Etruscan times.
Yes,
right?
But in fact, I still today these. To have these beans, and then but today is more easy for to find beans here too. In the 99 when I started Republic of Beans, I started only because there was a bring for myself the beans. There was this memory that I have in Italy that to eat the beans and not find in the same way.
Right.
Because today I think in the US you can find better food than what there was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Better ingredients, because the knowledge about the quality, it's much better. When I hear people that talk about the ingredients was much better before, I disagree. Because today, who growing product, who use the product, they have much more in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Still, sometimes not too much knowledge. And I talk about New York, and it's different from many other part. But New York today, you can find many ingredients of the same quality the what you can find in Italy.
That's great.
And no, it's a good. The only problem maybe for New York is a difficult for the produce the vegetable because the seasons are very short.
Yes.
I think today the same. You can find good fish. Not like in Italy because it's different in Italy.
Fish is better in Italy.
With a great possibility. It's different because in Italy, normally the fish is a fish in the morning, and that you eat in the same day. Here is a very difficult to find
the transportation.
The transportation. So it's like. No, when we
so let's get back to the book. You said that you're going to be in your new restaurant using recipes from the book. Is this because the restaurant is classic and honest and simple?
Yes, because what I want to first of all, is that the only thing that I know is a cook Italian, a cook in the classic way. So it's the time, and then no, and then really I. No, the last 3-4 years, I know, cook in the way that I used to cook because small plate, great food. But I want the fact that I decide to open more classic restaurant, a regular portion, and because there was a missing to cook.
You miss cooking.
I miss cooking because. West Side was different. Here they're going to be the same way because they have a restaurant. In the front is a grocery store. I sell prosciutto, but we have a restaurant where the menu I want to do to express the Italian food. And they base the simple, honest, classic because I want to cook the real Italian food. This not because I don't think in New York there are no Italian restaurant, good Italian restaurant. I think in New York, almost is more easy to eat good Italian food in New York than many places in Italy. And
let me tell you, where your restaurant on the Upper East Side is absolutely gorgeous. Who designed it, and how did you get? Because it's classic. The walls, it's very elegant, but the tables and the settings are very modern and sleek, and it's just a fascinating
it's
combination.
It's a classic. When I talk about it, I think the cook classic. When I talk about the simple, honest, classic, it's not the food, but at the same time, the ambience. It's simple because in the end, they have the simplicity, but at the same time, it's sophisticated because yeah. They have this all fresco from Rome. It's like a villa in Pompeii.
It does look like a villa in Bombay. Just in Pompeii. It does look like
2,000 years ago.
Yes.
But the color is very Italian. The fact, for example, the chair, they are designed for us, and they are the classic eggs chair they exist in Italy. This is designed for the restaurant because of the same style, because they're comfortable.
They're
because
incredibly comfortable.
I think that what is nice, the plate, they are from Richard Ginori, they are the most classic manufacturer for China in Italy, and they are so great, so beautiful. The glass, they are from Luigi Bormioli in Italy. So everything, the simplicity, but at the same time, the little sophistication. And the classic, because you see everything, the color, what is here, it's Italian. For to express this my idea, I utilize Dante Ferretti. Dante Ferretti, he won 3 Oscars. For the set design, and he did all the movie in Martin Scorsese.
So the set designer for Martin Scorsese did the design for your restaurant?
Yes.
And that's incredible.
He designed all these restaurants, and the last Oscar that he won is for Hugo. The movie Hugo.
The set designer for Hugo.
Yes.
No wonder this place is just exquisite.
Because really, there are no. When you walk inside, if you talk about the Greek restaurant, you walk inside, you can identify this as a Greek restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you go in the French, you still to have some feeling the Provence or other. But the Italian restaurant, really, they are not too much less, you know, identify the Italian restaurant with the checker tablecloth,
yeah,
or the Chianti.
Yeah, bottle, yeah.
But I know, it's not want to do something. I want to do that classic, that simple, but elegant. So who is better, the set design, the e-design, or he did an incredible movie. He rebuilt the American Gangster, that he did in Cinecittà, the old movie. He built New York in Rome.
In Rome.
So the idea...
now was to build Rome in New York.
So, yes. And the idea that you feel that when you walk inside, you are in an Italian restaurant.
You do.
And that, but...
But, you know, we're running out of time. And so, before we have to say goodbye... What do you think the future of Italian food is? Is it always just going to be classical, or is there what's your aspiration for the future?
But I don't think a classical. I don't want it, and they understand the word classic is something old. Classic is a something that style, and they have a very strict identification about what is in the class, in the case, the food or style or dress or jacket, something they know,
it's timeless.
Yes, that is a classic for me. It's no something that classic because it was made in the 1900 or 1800, and then I think what I try to cook here, simple food, but at the same time, they have the identification with this Italian food, the philosophy, they make it recognizable that it's Italian. And many, today, the best Italian restaurant in the US, they are Italian. The Italian best restaurant in the US, they are not from Italian. And they are great. And I think restaurants like Del Posto, like Scarpetta, like Bartolotta, and many other, they cook incredible. People, they have more respect about Italian food than many Italian chefs. What I try to do, I try to be more American, to respect more what is the Italian cuisine. But this time, from my point of view, I'm Italian, that I think more American, to respect the Italian food, for to identify more the classic Italian food.
Cesare, you're a classic. You're a classic. Thanks for talking to us today. See you next time. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton and Chef Story. Shout out to my producer, Jack Inslee, to Heidi Tickle and Joe Sevier, my assistant producer. We'll see you next time on Chef Story.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.